first scripture lesson is from Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then you can call upon me and come and pray with me. I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart.
The second scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and for everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened.
Third scripture lesson is from Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. These young people wearing these white robes have been a part of this process. It has been a journey, and they have crafted some faith statements, and in just a moment we're going to hear a few of those faith statements, but that Oliver Hatch, I don't know about that Oliver Hatch. This is what he said: Jesus has impacted my life in a very substantial way. From the day I was born to now, he is the reason why I go to church. He's like that push I get that makes me get up early on Sunday morning. I also get another push from my mom and dad to get up, but mostly Jesus. So I can admit that I don't always want to go to church, but as boring as some of the sermons get, there's always some sort of reward I feel after going, and that reward is the feeling of calmness, the feeling of relief. It's almost like Jesus has taken all of the stress that I have built up during the week and throws it away. He ends by saying, all in all, Jesus and my faith have gotten me through many different times and have changed me and my life for the better. I'm probably going to keep on going to church for the rest of my life and will always love Jesus and thank him. And I believe that he really will continue to go to church, because that family, like so many of our families, even his older brothers continue to go, and they worship in three generations, just like with Katie's family, worshiping together. We're in a sermon series called What is Church? And friends, we're getting a glimpse of the church of the future this day. We acknowledge that church is not steeple, church is not walls, church isn't even choir. But church is people coming together. And we're not a social club, even though we do things with each other socially. We are a community of faith. And so we heard that we gather together for worship. We've heard that we extend hospitality, which goes beyond just welcoming someone. It's also about that invitation, the way in which Leah invited Rebecca to come with her to Lucerne and get her into the life of our community of faith. But if we lose sight of the fact that church is about intentional faith development, then we've really missed something important. Bishop Robert Schnazy says this: the embrace of Christ deepens our sense of belonging through the practice of radical hospitality. God turns our hearts and minds toward Christ through passionate worship, gracing us with the desire to follow Christ more nearly. The practice of intentional faith development matures our understanding and experience of Christ. So let me ask you, are you genuinely, intentionally seeking after a deeper relationship with the God of love and the God of grace? Are you pursuing this with a measure of intentionality? I mean, you're all here today. That's a great step. But we've heard, and our young people just read these words for us. You know, Jeremiah said, I know the plans I have for you. And that doesn't mean that God plans that some are wealthy, some are not, that some have no health scares until their 90s, while others battle bad health all their life. No, that's not what the plan God has for us is. The plan God has for us is faith in this grace that sets us right. faith, a faith life, a faith journey. And we are given this promise, if you seek, you will find. If you search, I will be there. And Jesus comes along in that passage from Matthew and says the exact same thing. Ask and it will be given to you. Does that mean that I'm supposed to ask for a Jaguar and a better golf swing? I'd really like both of those things. But that's not the it. The it is relationship. It is our faith. Are we knocking on the right doors? Are we intentional in the ways in which we seek after God? And finally, the last text that was read from Acts. It shows us that the early church, right at the beginning, what is church? We can look to the early church. What did they do? They devoted themselves to teaching, that is, to get into the scriptures and fellowship. And we get this glimpse that our faith journey is blessed by doing it together as a community. And so they're going to take vows of membership this day. And I wonder if they really know what membership is all about. I looked at some of our Methodist stuff. You know, what is membership? Church membership is established in the baptismal covenant. What is going to happen here is that these young people who were baptized when they were much, much younger, their parents stood before a community of faith somewhere and made these vows. And now this day they are going to confirm them. They're going to take for themselves these vows to say, yes, this is who I am. Do I have it all figured out? Not a chance. But I'm on the road. I'm in this journey, and I'm going to do it with my family. I'm going to do it with my friends. This confirmation. Every once in a while, some years, we'll have a young person that wasn't baptized as an infant, and they're actually baptized, and it's not their confirmation Sunday. It is their baptismal Sunday. But there's some interesting things that we say. There are many occasions as people mature in the faith when the Holy Spirit's confirming action may be celebrated, such as in the reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant or other services related to life passages. Unlike baptism, which is a once-made covenant and can only be reaffirmed and not repeated, confirmation is a dynamic action of the Holy Spirit that can be repeated. Goes on to say, preparation for the experience of profession of faith and confirmation shall be provided for all people, including adults. What would it look like if maybe you were confirmed 40 or 50 years ago to go through that confirmation process again? Because friends, I want you to hear me when I say, faith is not something that is static. While we may say we possess a faith, it is not a possession to be had or an all or nothing proposition. And this is so important, I actually have it bolded in my outline here. Faith is something we grow into as we strive for it. Faith is something we grow into as we strive for it. It is not an accident. It is intentional in terms of helping ourselves get to a place where we can grow in our faith. Faith moves, faith grows, faith changes, faith matures. Last night, as Christy Wren was walking out of the chapel, she said, you know, it's good for us to write down our faith statements, but I really feel like I should write a new one every 5 years because my faith continues to move, to grow, to change, to mature. And so, In defense of Oliver, I don't want this to be long and boring, so I'm going to stop right there. And I want us to have an opportunity to hear from some of our young folks as they share, sometimes in brutally honest ways, some of the ups and downs of their faith journey. I'm going to start with Leah Gaffney. And so Leah, I already gave her credit for being the one who was invitational to Rebecca. And so I invite you to talk about your families that you have known over your time.
It took me a long time to come up with an idea for my faith statement. I've been part of 3 different churches in my lifetime. I was baptized in my first church when I was just a few months old. Holy Family is a place I don't really remember, but I know I went almost every Sunday until I was 4. Then I came here. Being a part of this church has been a life-changing experience for me. there are a few other places at which I would choose to spend so much of my time. For 10 years, this church has been my home. I've made some of my best friends here, and I have so many good memories of this place. The third church I have been a part of is a church on the other side of the world, in Vaasa, Finland. I lived in that city for a year, and even so far away, my family and I still went to church every Sunday. Being away from home was hard, but having a community and a family similar to one I had back home helped a lot. Needless to say, that church became a part of my life as well, a temporary home away from home. All three of these places have changed my life so profoundly, welcoming me into the world, making me feel at home in a place so far away, and being one of the most important places to me as I grow up, a lot of my faith revolves around the church. But perhaps the biggest impact has not been from the institution itself. After all, I could have tried to find this refuge, friendship, and community in any number of places. But since day one, this church has been my home. The sense of community and unconditional love that I feel here from the congregation and maybe even from God is what always draws me back, what makes me want to come on a weekly basis. I have struggled with faith in God. When you are faced with the brutal reality of the world, how can you bring yourself to believe in a benevolent force? To me, it just doesn't make sense. How do you rely on writings from thousands of years ago to lead people in the modern day? I have so many questions, and many times they feel impossible to answer. I have never had a God encounter. I have never felt the presence of God in the way it was described to me. I've never heard a voice from the heavens setting me on the right path. Sometimes even the thought seems silly. So, forgive me if sometimes it's a little hard to believe. But here's what I do know for sure. I know that when I come to church, I feel the love. Whatever might have been bothering me before takes the back seat when I am here. I know that I like to be at worship, that learning what God says feels a little like self-improvement, and even if it's hard to grasp, the lesson still holds. And most importantly, I know that this church will always accept me. They see my faults and respond with, "Come as you are." No matter what happens or who I become, I feel I can always return to my home. So, this faith statement isn't really about making a proclamation of my faith in God, but is a declaration of my faith in my church. That this church will welcome me and care for me and provide for me with a home and a place to continue to grow my faith in God. I have faith that this church and others that I will attend in my lifetime will welcome me as I am with open arms and open hearts. When I am struggling with my faith and when I truly believe, at my best and my worst, I have faith that my church will see me and love me all the same.
Okay, so she says that here's what she does know for sure, that when she comes to church, she feels the love. She feels the love of Christ extended through you and I, through her family, through her friends, and that even though these are ancient texts, the lesson still holds. Even if sometimes it's long and boring, the message still holds. All right, I'm going to invite Brett to come forward and to lead us in his words this day.
My name is Brett Nerman. Writing about my faith journey is challenging at this point because me as a 13-year-old boy, my faith journey is definitely still under construction. At this point in my life, I know and I believe that there is a God. I don't always know what this may look like, but some part of me feels some sort of presence in my life. I also have witnessed special things occurring in the lives of those around me. My family has always encouraged me to attend church since I was a baby. We say a blessing before dinner and work hard in our lives to follow a moral conduct. I wouldn't say my family is overly religious, but my parents and grandparents reinforce the need to give thanks for all we are given by God and encourage me to live a life of purpose. As a 13-year-old, I sometimes am inconsistent in my actions day to day, but I work hard to make the right choices and treat people with respect and an open heart and mind. Don't get me wrong, I sometimes make the wrong choice when interacting with my little brother. While I'm not yet disciplined enough to conduct daily prayers, I believe there are moments in my life where I find a special time with God. For me, swimming is an opportunity where I can grow my relationship with God. Sometimes when I dive into the calm water of the swimming pool during my weekly swim practices, I find my greatest connection because there's a time where I met the most peace with the world and life in general. It is the quiet that allows me to reflect on my life and recognize the many blessings that I'm provided. These moments also happen at other times, like hunting in the woods with my grandpa, standing in the lacrosse goal before a game or practice, or just taking a ride on my bike in the fresh air. I still have a lot to figure out, and much more studying to do with the Bible. Right now, some of the stories in the Bible seem a little difficult to comprehend, and like many 13-year-olds, I'm easily distracted. I know what I want to continue to learn and grow in my faith as a member of the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay. I hope to attend one of the service trips in the future because helping others is very important to me. I also serve others through my participation in Scouts. The Scout oath is do your duty to God and your country, obey the Scout law, and help other people at all times. Keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally sure. This is something I work hard to abide by. While it isn't direct scripture from the Bible, this oath is important to me, and I wish people in our society lived this way. I look forward to continuing to grow and evolve my relationship with the church and God once confirmed.
All right, thank you. The Scout oath, do your duty to God and your country to obey the Scout law and to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Something he says he works hard to abide by, and he wished more people in society would do it, and a church family can help us stay on that path. Rebecca.
I grew up in a Catholic church, and while Catholicism has many admirable aspects, it wasn't for me. Too much of it was based on ritual and memorization. As for the community, it lacked. At my old church, people generally came to Sunday service and left. Not only was there very little conversation between families, but many people knew almost no one around them. However, now I experienced the opposite. After church, I see people talking and laughing with people they know, and I know people as well. Overall, a much more welcoming and caring community. Additionally, unlike any previous churches I've been to, this church has offered me many amazing service opportunities. I can tell that the members of UMC WFB are interested in doing good and loving all, and I hope that through confirmation I can officially be included in that group. I definitely value helping those less fortunate and serving people in need. When it comes to my faith, I have many questions, but that is okay because I have plenty of time to find answers, because confirmation is just the beginning of my faith journey. What I do know is that I believe in God, and that he is everywhere and will be there when I am in need. I believe in his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, and I believe that we should live as the Bible teaches us, with compassion and love. By being Christian, I am choosing a life in which I try to love everyone, and I join a community in which people share those same goals. To me, confirmation is more about deciding, is more than deciding that I want to be Methodist. It is agreeing to take responsibility and pursuing a life of kindness and spirituality. And it is a commitment to share my God-given talents in hope of helping the church and its members. I will help on missions and service projects, and I will work to find my part in this church as well as in God's plan. Through confirmation, I will join the United Methodist Church in this process, becoming a part of something much bigger. I am blessed to be given an opportunity to share my talents and beliefs with others, to help improve upon people's lives through service projects. And lastly, I am thankful to have found a church overflowing with hospitality and support.
All right. Did you hear what she said about intentional faith development? It's agreeing to take responsibility in pursuing a life of kindness and spirituality. It is a commitment to share my God-given talents in hope of helping the church and its members. We have one last one, and I'm going to invite Jack to come forward. He was a part of our carpenter shop downstairs. He was just a few months old when he first came to us. He grew up downstairs in that Christian-based daycare facility. And what you maybe don't know is that Jack stood on the mound at Miller Park and threw out the first pitch for a Brewers game. And he swears it was a strike right down the middle, which is something that Pat Connington, who was a Bucks forward and was drafted in the third round of the Major League, couldn't do. He kind of hit the bull back in the back. So, Jack, give us what you got.
I've been going to the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay all my life, and I love it. I was baptized at the church as a baby. I went to carpenter shop since I was just a few months old, until I was about 10. And I went to the church almost every single Sunday as a kid. I even ushered quite a few Sundays. but I especially love Christmas at the church because everyone is joyful and nice. Throughout it all, I always enjoyed the happy mood. Whenever I'm at church, I feel safe and comfortable because I'm surrounded by the people who try to do their best to serve God and make Him happy. Recently at church, I was sitting by my dad next to an older couple who I did not know, and the woman leaned over and said, "I'm always so glad to see you at church, young man, because you're always so kind and adorable." This type of experience makes me feel happy. I feel like people like it when I'm at church, and I'm not just there to be there. I think God feels the same way about me. He didn't put me here just to be here, but instead He has a plan for me. I believe that God is helping me through both the good times and the bad times. He is there for me along the whole journey. For example, when my great-grandfather died, I was very sad. But that night I prayed God would make him happy up in heaven. Just like that, I felt better. I can't explain why, except that I believe that God was helping me. Another example is when I have a good game in sports, particularly my favorite sport, baseball. I've been blessed with the ability to play at a fairly high level for many years. I thank God because He has provided me with the ability to walk, talk, run, and think. And without God, none of it would be possible. My faith really grew when my dad got sick. He didn't tell me he was sick until a few days before his lung surgery at the Mayo Clinic. But when he got a brain tumor and almost died, I prayed twice a day that God would make sure that he would be okay. A few days later, my mom told me he survived his surgery. About a week later, my dad made sure that we were able to come to Christmas Eve service at the church. He didn't feel well, but we were both able to thank God that night. I think my dad survived because God was listening to my prayers. Because God loves me so much, He helped me and my dad. I'm very thankful for the ways that God helps me in my life. I can't see or hear God, but I know He's there. It's like everyone in my family. I can't see their love and care for me, but I know that it is there they feel. And they do their best what they think is right for me. I don't know how to show my thanks for all their help, or the church's help, or God's help. I just try to do my best to treat others the way God would want.
All right, thank you very much. Let's show our appreciation for all of our young people. God didn't put me here just to be here, right? We are here for a reason. And so we are so thankful that we have the opportunity to have this faith. Faith that is something that we grow into as we strive for it. A faith that moves, grows, changes, and matures. And so I'm going to invite CJ and Dan to come and to introduce us to the class in its entirety.